The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
In this week's Parsha, Parshas Emor, in Vayikra Chof Beis Posuk Chof Tes, it states V'chisis B'chu Zevach Toda LaShem, when you bring a korban, a sacrifice of thanksgiving to Hashem. L'ritzeinchem tishbochu, then you should sacrifice it in accordance to what he wants, in accordance to the halachos that he gives you. Bayim ahu ye ochel le'sisiru mimeno ad boker. On that day you should eat it, and you shall not leave over any of it until the next morning. Ani Hashem, I am the Lord. This is a Korban Todah. It's actually from the Shlamim. The various sacrifices that we would bring were divided into four different types of major groups: Achatos and Oshom, and Ola Achatos and Oshom, and Shlomim. And this is from the Shlomim group. Incidentally, in the various korbanis, sacrifices, had different halachos, different laws governing them, and different zmanei achila, for how long they could be eaten. And when it came to the Korban Todah, so it states that it could be eaten for that day and that night. And then the next morning, it was disqualified from being eaten. So you had to eat it before then. And this was the halacha by some of the other korbanos also. But from the fact that we see that it was eaten from that day and that night, this is one of the sources that we have, that generally the night precedes the day. For example, when it comes to Shabbos, Shabbos starts the evening before. The day follows the night. The next night already, Mitzvah Shabbos, Saturday night, belongs to the next day. It belongs to Yom HaRishon. Same thing when it comes to Yantif. The evening of Pesach belongs to the first day of Pesach. The next night already belongs to the second day. And we learn this from Briyas Ha'elam, the creation of the world, because it states Vayera Vayboker Yem Harishan Yem Hashem Yem Echad Yem Sheni Yem Shlishi. Kodesh Baruch Hu created the evening and then the day. So we say that the beginning of the day begins with the evening. But by Kochim, when it comes to the rules of the sacrifices in the Beis HaMikdosh, there we have a different klal. We have a different law, that the day precedes the night. And the night is the end of the day, and at sunrise already is a new day. And one of the sources is from this posuk, the Gemara brings, and actually the Torah Tamimah says, how's it deduced from this posuk, or from a similar posuk like this? Because it states, you should on that day, vayemahu ye ochel, and then it says you shouldn't leave it over till the next morning. Now, once it says you should eat it on that day, so it's already disqualified the night, because the night following the day doesn't belong to that day anymore. Yet it only tells us that you shouldn't leave it over till the morning. So from here we see that when it comes to Kochim, to the Beis HaMikdosh, when it states day, that means the day and the night following. So you should eat it on that day, which includes the night following, and you shouldn't leave it over till the next morning. All right, now this Korban Todah, this is what is known as a Thanksgiving offering. This is brought in parshas in two other places. It's brought in Parshas Tzav. Well, actually, basically, it's brought in one other place, in Vayikra, which tells us of the sacrifices in general. So that's where the Korban Shlomim is brought. In Vayikra, Beis Posuk Vov, or Vayikra Bed, Vayikra Gimel, Per Gimel, it states, V'im Zevach Shlomim Korbonei. If the sacrifice that you're bringing is the Korban Shlomim, and then it tells us about the Korban Shlomim in general. The Korban Shlomim was different than the other three categories, the Ola, and the Chatos and the Oshom. The others were called Kodshei Kedoshim, and they were more holy, and the Shlomim were called Kodshim Kalim. What ramifications did this have? For example, the others, someone who was not a Kohen was not allowed to eat from them. But when it came to Shlomim, so they all, the even Azor, even someone who was not a Kohen was allowed to eat from it. The first three that we mentioned, being they were more Kodesh, so they could only be eaten by the Kohanim in the Azor, in the courtyard of Yerushalayim, of the Beis HaMikdash. While the Shlomim, that even the owners would eat from, they could eat it anywhere in Yerushalayim. And there were a number of differences, but this was the basic point is that the Shlomim was a Kodshim Kalim. Now, this is where the Shlomim is mentioned in general. In the next Parshim, Parsha Sav, which we had not long ago, so there, the Shlomim are mentioned in particular. So the first one of the Shlomim group that's mentioned, and this is in Perek Zayin, Posuk Yud Aleph. Is Bizos Torah Zevach HaShlomim Asher Yakriv LaShem. These are the laws of the sacrifice of the Shlomim which you shall sacrifice to Hashem, im al toda yakrivenu, if it is a thanksgiving offering. First one is the Korban Toda, the thanksgiving offering. And there it goes more into detail as to what is the thanksgiving offering, how is it brought. And it tells us, v'hikriv al zevach ha-toda chalais matzis belules ba-shemen urakike matzis meshuchin ba-shemen. What it tells us, and this is explained here, Rashi, and explained in the Gemara, it's a whole Mesechta, and this a whole perek on this in Mesechta Menoches, Daf Ein Vav, it begins with, and in Rambam, is that he would bring an animal. And together, he would bring 40 loaves of bread. And the 40 loaves of bread constituted four different types of bread. 10 in each type. He would bring three types of matzah, of unleavened bread. And each matzah would be baked differently. Some would be more baked, some would be thinner, some would be with more oil, like we had in Menoches. And then he would bring a fourth group, which would be chometz, which would be bread that was leavened. And then the animal would be slaughtered, would be shechted. Of the Shlomim, there were certain fats of the animal, the chelev, that we weren't allowed to eat, and that would always be burnt on the Mizbeach, on the altar. And then there was a certain part, two parts of the animal that would always go to the Kohen, and the rest would go to the Baalim, to the owner. And then he would give to the Kohen one loaf from each of the four types of bread that he brought. So these basically are the halachos of the Korban Todah. Again, he would bring an animal, and together he would bring four types of breads with it, three types of matzah and one type of chometz, and 10 loaves in each type. Slaughter the animal, the fats, certain fats would go on the Mizbeach, on the altar, certain, the chos v'sheikh, certain other types would go as a gift to the Kohen. He would get the remaining part. He and his family could eat the remaining part of the animal in Yerushalayim, as we mentioned. He wasn't allowed to take it out of Yerushalayim, and it had to be eaten that day and that night. And with the loaves, so one loaf from each of the 10 he would give as a gift to the Kohen, and the other, there would be 9 left in each group, the others that he would eat together with his family in Yerushalayim. When did you bring the Thanksgiving offering? So Rashi brings from the Gemara in Masechta Brachos, but it's not exactly the Gemara Masechta Brachos, because the Gemara Masechta Brachos is bringing about making a bracha. You were talking about the sacrifice, but we will see the Gemara. So the Gemara brings in Brachos Perakaraya Daf Nun Dalet Amud Beis. Mora says, Omer Rav, Rabbi Yudah said in the name of Rav, Arba Srichin Lahaydes, 4 must give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yodeh Hayom, someone who crosses the sea. Hochei Midbores, someone who crosses the desert. Misho Hoyecheila V'Nisrape, someone who was sick and he sat at a four shlema, he's had a total cure. Umisha hayachobus bebeis asurim biyotza, and someone who was prisoner, and particularly was prisoner by hostile people, and he was set free. These 4 are obligated to make a hedor to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And on each one of the 4, the Gemara brings sources from various psukim. How do we know in general that when something, it's considered here that a miracle happened to each one? The fact that he crossed the sea and he came out alive, or he crossed the desert, or he was sick and he had a refuah shleima, or he was captive, he was set free, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu performed a miracle for him. Therefore he has to give thanks. And how do we know in general that a person has to give thanks? So on this, the Gemara brings a posuk from Tehillim, in which the posuk says, just looking for it, Posuk is in Tehillim, Kuf Zayin, Posuk Tesvov. And it states, Yoidu Lashem Chazdoi V'Niflaisav Livnei Odom. David HaMelech said, Yoidu Lashem Chazdoi, make it known the Chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and his wonders make known to the people. When something that is a wonder is done for you. Don't keep it to yourself. This is what David is telling us. Don't keep it to yourself. Make it known to people. Yodu l'Hashem chazdoi. Make it known to Hashem and make it known to people. Minifleis of livnei odom. Make it known to people. That means that we have to advertise what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us. This is known as Pishumei Nisho. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu does a miracle for us, we should let others know about it. Does a chesed for us, we should let others know about it. We shouldn't keep it to ourselves. We should be mefarshim it, let people know, because this is a Kiddush Hashem. This sanctifies the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This tells people the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his kindness. So that's how we know that you have to give thanks to Hashem. And it states, Arba Tzrichin Lahodos, these four have to come and give thanks. Then the Gemara goes into, how does he give thanks? So the Gemara says that Dovid HaMelech said, Vayirameimehu Bekal Am, that he will uplift and exalt HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, Bekal Am, in the nation. In other words, not privately, but in the nation. So therefore, you have to give thanks before people, before 10 people. That's considered a kahal. The Rambam brings this halacha. He brings it in Hilchos Broches, Daf Nun Dalet Amud Beis. Excuse me. No, I'm sorry. He brings it in Hilchos. Where is the Rambam? He brings it in. Just a minute. He brings it in Perek Yud Halacha Ches of Hilchos Broches. Arba Tzrichin Lahodos. There are four that have to give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chelish Nisrape, someone who was sick and he became cured. Chovu Shiyotz Mibes Asurim, a captive that was set free. Yode Hayom Kisho Olu, those that go into the sea, to cross the sea when they come up on the other side on the shore. They also. Veholche Drochim Kishyagir Le Yishuv, and those that go on long journeys. Actually, the Gemara says Holchei Midbores, when you cross the desert. The Rambam brings Tam Holchei Drochim, Kishyagir Lishu, when they come to the city. Tzrichin Lahaydes Bifnei Asor, and they have to give this Haydor before 10 people. Ushnai Mehem Chachomim, and two must be Chachomim, two must be sages, Talmide Chachomim. As it states, Shenema V'yeremamehu B'kahal Am, I will exalt HaKadosh Baruch Hu amongst the nation, amidst the nation, and amidst the Zekenim. Here's wise men. So there must be a nation there. That's at least 10, a minion. And amongst the minion, there must be two that are Chachonim. Keitzad made. How should he give Haidor? Mevorech. He says a brocha. And Keitzad Mevorech, and how does he make the bracha? So the Rambam's nusach was as follows. This is what we call Birchas HaGemel. The Rambam's nusach, the bracha he had was Emid Benehan, he stands amongst them. That's why our custom is that when we bench Gemel, that's what it's called, so we do it at the Bima, because you have to stand amongst the people. And we usually do it only at a time when there's Kriyas HaTorah, when there's the reading of the Torah. Umevorech, Boruch Ato Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Hagemel Lechayovim Teves, Shigmalam Mikol Tov. Bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu that has given to those who really do not deserve it, goodness, that you have given me so much good. V'chol Hashemim Emrim, and then everybody who hears the bracha, he answers Shigamalcho Teiv Hu Yigmalcho Selo. Shigamalcho Teiv Hu Yigmalcho Selo. We have a little different nusach. we answer Mishi Gmalcha Kol Tev, Hu Yigmalcha Kol Tev Selo. He who has given you so much good, he should continue to give you so much goodness. Now this is the halacha of Birchas Hagemel. See, the bracha that you make when HaKadosh Baruch Hu did a miracle for you. And the miracles that I mentioned are those four in the Gemara. But this is also the halacha when you bring the Korban Todah during the time of the Beis HaMikdash. Rashi brings this posuk here in Parshas Tzav. When does one bring a Korban Todah? He brings on a miracle that took place to him. And then he lists off the four types again, Yodayam, Hochemid Boris, and so forth. Srichin Lahodos. They have to give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and how do they do it? By bringing this Korban Todah. Shneamar, as it states, Yodu Lashem Chazdei v'Niflais of Livnei Odom. Now, I don't know, I haven't come across it yet, if during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, on these four occasions we will bring a Korban Todah, if we would also make the bracha, the Birchas HaGemel, in the shul. You see, it could be that the Birchas HaGemel that we make in the shul is because we cannot bring the Korban Todah today. But perhaps when we were able to bring the Korban Todah, so then we didn't need the bracha in the shul. Or maybe not. Maybe we bring both. Maybe we bring the Korban and make the bracha. So this I don't know for sure. But at any rate, this is the Korban Todah, and that four have to bring it, the Korban or the bracha. Now, we can ask a few questions on this. Firstly, why was the Korban Todah from the category of the Shlomim? Could have been from a different category. Could have been a Korban Olah, burnt offering, where it's entirely burnt on the Mizbeach. Secondly, when the Torah explains the Korban Shlomim, the various sacrifices of the Shlomim group, the first one is the Korban Todah. There are many. First one is the Korban Todah. Why is that the first one? Evidently it has a great importance. All right. Another question. Why was it that four different types of breads were brought with the Korban Todah? You want to bring the loaves? Bring the loaves. It could be sufficient that they're all of one type. Why four different types? Three different types of matzah and one type of chometz. What was the significance of that? Further, what was the significance of the chometz? Because we have a klal that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want any chometz when it came to the sacrifices. If we look in Vayikra, beginning of the sacrifices, Vayikra Beis, Pasuk Yud Aleph. So there it states, Kol HaMincha Asher Takriva LaHashem. Every meal offering, we have many, many different meal offerings. Wheat, different types, barley. Every mincha, Kol HaMincha Asher Takriva LaHashem Leiseosei Chometz, must not be chometz. Every mincha that we brought onto the altar was always baked matzah, but never chometz. All seor. Seor was the sour dough which was used to make the chometz with. And also honey, any mesikas, any sweetness from fruits. Oh, that's something else. You shall not burn on the mizbeach. So we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want chometz. Now here also, this chometz didn't go on the Mizbeach, it didn't go on the altar, because we were not allowed to bring any chometz on the altar. It was brought, and there was a number of things done with it, but it didn't go on the altar. And ultimately, it was one of each type were given, was given to the Kohen, and the rest were eaten by the owners. So it wasn't burnt on the altar. But still, what was the significance of the chometz here? Since we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was marchik, he distanced all chometz from the altar. And then a further question. There are only two places of all of the sacrifices, all of the many sacrifices, that we find had chometz with it. Never was burnt on the altar, but we find that chometz came with the sacrifice. One is here by the Korban Todah, and the other is the one that we will bring on Shavuos. Shavuos, we will bring the Shtei Atzeres, Shtei Alechem, the two loaves, two large loaves, and that would be from the new wheat, and that would be baked chometz. Again, wouldn't be burnt on the altar, on the Mizbeach, but that would be baked chometz. So these were the only two exceptions of the many korbanos we had. What is the significance that these two were the exceptions? So we have a number of questions here. We won't be able to answer them all this evening. There's much to speak about here. But in Yetz Hashem, maybe next week or the week after, we'll continue. But let's answer some of these, or try to answer some of these this evening. At least some. And based on what the Maral Miprag writes, where he writes, he has a magnificent, he called it a drosha. It's a, he gave, in the old days, the Rabbonim used to darshan twice a year, Shabbos HaGodol and Shabbos Shuvah. They used to darshan in the big shul, and all of the people would come. And that was the only time they would darshan, usually. But he has a drosha from Shabbos HaShuvah, which is printed, and he has a drosha from Shabbos HaGodol that was printed. How he darshan it, I don't know, because it's a whole sefer. It would take 6 months to learn it. So how he darshan that on a Shabbos afternoon, that I don't know. Yeah. But it's what he has there is magnificent, and just a very few points from it. He on the drush, on the drosha for Shabbos HaGodol, he goes into some of these points. First of all, why was this from the Shlomim group? Shlomim comes from the word shalom, peace. The word shalom basically means everything, all-encompassing, because the sheirish, the source of the word shalom, the root is shalem, which means where everything is in totality and perfection. The word that is contrary to shalom is machlekes. We know that machlekes means strife, but the root of the word machlekes is chelek, and chelek means when something is divided, something is not shalem, it's a piece, it's not in totality. And therefore, this is what the word means, entirety, totality. And that's why the Chazal tell us in many, many places. For example, Godel HaShalom, Shushokol Keneger HaKol. Shalom is so great, it is equal and encompasses everything. Or Ose Shalom Ubeirias HaKol. Kodesh Baruch Hu made Shalom, and through this he created everything. Or HaKol Srichin Shalom Afilo El Yonim. Everyone and everything needs Shalom. Even the El Yonim, the celestial beings which are in the upper world. Diksiv Ose Shalom Bimreima. Kodesh Baruch Hu makes Shalom up there. Even though there's no hatred and there's no strife there, you still need shalom, because shalom means where the perfection and the perfect harmony of everything. Shalom won't be like people think. If we would remove machlekes, then there'll be shalom. If we would remove machlekes, it would be a great bracha. But it doesn't mean there'll be shalom. I'll give you an example. A great composer, a great musician, he composes a masterpiece. Now, if notes are conflicting with each other, you're going to get terrible sounds off keys. So that's similar to machlekes. But let's say that he sorts out all of the notes which are conflicting with each other. So now you do not get the terrible keys. There's no machlekes. But a masterpiece he doesn't have. He might have a million notes and they're not conflicting with each other. But you won't generally have a masterpiece either. When will he have a masterpiece? When each one is in its perfect place, in its perfect time, in its perfect harmony. So that's what the word shalom means. Not only the lack of machlekes, but it means when everything is perfect. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world is perfect. He created his world to be perfect. Everything, it's of the billions upon billions of different particles in the world, from the smallest cell to the greatest creation, he created where it all works in perfect harmony. It's supposed to work in perfect harmony. Man disturbs it many times, but would be similar to the musician where all of his notes are in perfect harmony. So this is what is meant by shalom. Now, the Korban Shlomim, the Chazal tell us in a simple sense, why was it called Shlomim? It says because everyone got a portion. By many of the other Korbanes, so sometimes only the Mizbeach, there was an Achilles Mizbeach, for example, the Korban Eila, the burnt offering, only the altar got a portion. Sometimes there was an Achilles Mizbeach and an Achilles Kohen went on the altar and the Kohanim. But by the Shlomim, everyone got a portion. Mizbeach, the Kohanim, and the Bailim, and the owners, even if they weren't Kohanim. So, not only did it bring peace between them, but in other words, it was all-encompassing. It was Kol El HaKol. And it was in its perfection and entirety. So therefore, why was the Korban Torah a part of the Shlomim category, of the Shlomim family? Because the first reason is when a person is in a tzora, he's in a danger to his life. So he's lacking shalom. He's very far from shalom. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes a miracle to save him, so then now he has the shalom. And therefore he brings a korban which is from the Shlomim. But there's a deeper reason. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes a miracle which is contrary to the Teva, which is contrary to the physical nature of the world. For example, when someone crosses the sea, according to the physical nature, you shouldn't be able to get across the sea. The same thing when it comes to a midbar, a desert, and so forth. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes a miracle to bring a person through the sea and through the desert, this is contrary to the physical nature. This shows that he encompasses everything. And he is one. Because if we look at the world in face value, there is not one. There are two, or there are many powers in the world. There's a Kodesh Baruch Hu. There's the physical nature. Or, in the physical nature, you have the power of water, you have the power of fire, you have all different types of forces. So there are many forces in the world. The fact is, the Avdei Aveda Zorah, the idolaters, each one would choose a different force, and they would worship it. There was those that worshipped the sun because they felt the sun was the greatest force. There were those that worshipped the sea because they felt the sea was the greatest force. And so on. So the world is made up of many sources. if they believed also in Hashem, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu was another force. That was God, and that was the force of evil. There was the devil. So you have many forces. If you have many forces, there's no shalom. Shalom means an all-encompassing force, where everything is made by one person. And when someone makes something, if someone has one source, if something has one source, it cannot be something which is self-destructive. When something comes from two forces or three forces, you can have where each one is trying to consume the other. But if something is coming from one source, it can't be destructive, minei obey, from within itself, because it's coming from one source. So if we look at the world from face value, you do not see this harmony in the world. You see many, many different forces all at work against each other. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and he overpowers the physical world, he makes a miracle, it shows that he's the balabos, he's the balabira. He rules the world. He rules the waters, and he rules the desert. He rules everything. And all of these things are merely his servants that come from him. So this is what the Chazal refer to as Rishus Echod. Achdus is only one. So a miracle that overpowers the physical nature brings out the Achdus in the world, the oneness in the world. And that's the Shlemus. It's Sholem. He is one, and he governs in totality. He created in entirety, and the world is one. After we see that, so even when we do not see miracles, but then we realize that the force of nature, the forces of nature are merely his servants, and there's still oneness in the world. So a miracle brings out the Shlemus HaBriah, the totality of the world. Therefore, in order to be mefarshim this Nes, to publicize this, we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we show him our gratitude. How? By bringing the Korban Todah. And the Korban Todah is from the Shlomim. From this Korban Shlomim, that is also an all-encompassing Korban, where everyone gets a portion of it. In other words, it encompasses everyone. And therefore, it's from the Shlomim, and therefore, it's the first of the Shlomim to be mentioned, because it's the one that brings this, it's the one that drives this principle in the greatest way. Now, we asked, what is the reason of the four different categories, the four different types of the grids that were brought? Well, first we have to examine the Gemara. The Gemara says, Arba tzrichin lahodos. Four have to bring the Haidah. And it mentions these four and learns off each one of these four from a pasuk. Now, what are the significance of these four? So the Maral says as follows. The Yodei Yam, those that go into the sea, are at danger, and those that cross the desert are at danger. But each one is at danger for a totally different reason. The one that crosses the sea, he's at danger because of a enormous external power. He says there's no greater force in the world than the force of the waters of the sea. He tried to hold back the waters of the sea. So he's at danger because of an enormous external power. That external power threatens his life. Kadosh Baruch Hu intervenes and keeps that external power at bay from threatening his life. The Yode Midbar, the one who crosses the great deserts, he's also at danger, but not from an external power, from an external force, but from a lack of his needs. He can die of famine, he can die of thirst. So, in other words, there's a positive force by the sea, a positive danger by the sea, or there's a danger at the sea that's coming from a positive force, and there's a danger in the desert that's coming from a negative force. In other words, there is withheld everything that man needs to sustain himself. There's no food, there's no water, there's no shelter. These are the first two. The third category that the Gemara mentions is Chela. Chela Shenisrape. He also is Bisakona. He's at danger. But he's not at danger from an external force. He's not at danger from an external force that's coming from a power beyond him. Or he's not in danger from external forces where he's in a place where he's being withheld everything that he needs. But the danger comes from he himself. Because when someone falls sick, that means there's a disorder within him. And this disorder within him threatens his life. So the danger is not coming from external forces or from external places. He himself, it's coming from he himself, from the Gufa Adam. So therefore, that's another category of a danger. Then we have the fourth one. The fourth one is a Chovush Bepeis HaAsurim, someone who's held captive by hostile people. This is different than the other three. Because the other three were dangers that came from the physical nature. The sea, the desert, disease. This is a danger that comes from man, a Baal Bechira. He's being held captive by hostile people. And as a Gemara in Masechet Bava Basra, the first perek, Livandav Ches, where the Gemara says that the greatest mitzvah, the greatest time to help someone is pidyon shvuyim, is when he's captured by someone. Well, it says we must do everything possible to help someone who's captured by someone. It says afilo meichrin sefer Torah. If the tzibur, if they capture someone and then we need money to free him, the tzibur must come up with the money. If they cannot come up with the money, we even sell a sefer Torah for it. It says that's worst of all. Why? Because kula is bahu. Everything that we mentioned is that's a sakonas cherev, the Gemara says. They can take a sword and cut off his head. Now the cherev represents the same external power that the sea represents. In other words, that's a power from beyond. It's a sakonas rov. They can starve him. That would represent this danger from a desert where everything is being withheld from him. And it's disease. They can throw him in a dungeon. Well, they can feed him there and give him to drink, but they throw him in a dungeon where it's cold and it's damp, and he becomes sick. And the sickness is a danger to him. So kula isbahu. And this is not the nature. The danger from the nature. This is a danger from a man. From here we see that man is a greater danger than the physical forces of the world. The sea threatens a person only from one aspect. The desert threatens the person only from a different aspect. The disease threatens a person only from a third aspect. When it comes to man, kula ispuru, he can threaten a person from all three aspects. So we see man is a greater danger than all of the rest. And why is man a greater danger? Because of the Keach HaRa, the Keach HaYetzer Hara. You see, the sea is not doing anything wrong. He's doing what he was created for. The desert's not doing anything wrong. He's doing what he's created for. You go into Kruger Park and you pet a lion and he bites you. Can't blame the lion. That's what he was created for. Disease also is doing what it was created for. But man was given Bechira. And man can choose between good and evil. And if he chooses evil, he can choose all of the evil in the world. Like Yimach Shemom, all of the Rishoyim that we know of. And therefore he's the greatest danger. And he's a fourth category. So, these are the four categories that we have. Now, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu does a miracle for a person, and we want to come and give him haydor, to give him thanks, so we want to show that he is the Sholem. He rules over the entire world, and he can save us from everyone, from all dangers, because even though there are many dangers lurking, he governs everything. And when we are saved from a danger, so we want to show this. So therefore we bring the Korban Todah, the sacrifice. And therefore it is a Shlomim, which shows the all-encompassing power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that rules over all dangers which are lurking, and therefore can save us from any and all of them. And therefore we bring four different types of breads. These four different types of breads represent the four different types of dangers. One of an external force from beyond us, another one where all of our needs are withheld from us, and then the third one where the danger comes from ourselves, in other words, if heaven forbid there's disease in the body, and then the fourth one where we are captive by a person who is a man, not the nature, a physical force, but by man, the coolies, they can do everything to us, and it's up to his choice, and he chooses to do evil because of his Keach HaRa, because of the Yetzer. So therefore we bring four different types of breads to represent this and to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu can save us from any one of them. Why are three types matzah and one chometz? We have a klal, principle, that matzah is something which is meshuchra, which is free from the Yetzer Hara. While chometz always represents the seor shebi isor, the sourdough in the batter which makes it into chometz. This we have a principle, and we've spoken on this in the past. So three of the types of the matzahs, of the loaves are matzahs, because this represents the three forces of the nature which do not have a Yetzer Hara in them. They are not a Baal Bechira, they weren't given free choice, so there's no Yetzer Hara. But the chometz, that represents the man. That represents the captor, because his danger comes from the Yetzer Hara, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved us from that. So therefore we praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the chometz that represents the Yetzer Hara. We will have to stop now, but we still have the question. We have to explain more. Why is it? I mean, this will answer for us, perhaps, why the Torah said you shouldn't put chometz on the Mizbeach, on the altar. But we still have to explain more why does chometz come here, and why do we find chometz also comes on the Shtei HaLechem, on the two loaves that came on Shavuos, the significance of this, and the Mirtz Hashem, that we will continue perhaps next week.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.